All right, let's do this. Let's jump into this thing about loose lips sink ships. Loose lips sink. Oh, hang on. Yellow Dog Mike just texted in. This should be fun.
Right on cue.
Just let me see. It's like a train wreck. I got to look. Yellow Dog Mike says, should be a hoot hearing you MAGA guys crawfish about security leaks. You guys would be building a bonfire if a Dem administration did this. Total hypocrites, all of you. Okay, Yellow Dog Mike, I got two words for you. Hillary's server.
That's what I was just about to say.
Hillary's server. Like lots and lots and lots of stuff on Hillary's server, which, oh, by the way, between Bleachbit and the Hammer, she avoided a lot of accountability.
And by the way, Hillary's was way worse than this.
She actually did a lot of state business, classified, over time, and then left it unattended in a server in a closet at her house. So, Yellow Dog Mike, you can go pound sand, man. And no, by the way, I'm not going to be excusing anybody for making a stupid mistake. Let's talk about this. All right, let's break this down. First of all, let me talk about the modern age that we're in. Because the phrase loose lips sink ships came in World War II, and it came at a time when there was concern because of, you know, Nazi spies and that kind of thing in Europe as you had, you know, troops home on leave, and they're talking about where they're going next and what they've done already, and they're sitting around a bar having a pint, you know, at the pub, and next thing you know, some guy's chatting them up and saying, thank you, Yank, and turns out it's a German spy, and then they get the information and they pass it back to the chain, and yeah, okay, that was real. Loose lips sink ships. That was the phrase that was on all of the war posters, reminding troops and even civilians to be careful who they talk to. I mean, if you wrote letters home from the war, you might have to send them through a censor because they would check out information about, you know, where you were and what you had done and what your losses were. So, yeah, letters would come home redacted. That being said, we live in a time now when troops can call home from the war. I did, and that was 20 years ago. My first tour in Afghanistan was the beginning of the war. That was the first time the U.S. has gone to war where there was such a level of connectivity that troops are able to call home as a part of their daily day, their daily activities. And we had, in that case, like when I routed through a special operations base out of Uzbekistan called K2, Karshikanabad, K2, we had these phone banks set up. They had them down at Bagram, too. You could walk in, wait in line. The next booth would open up. You'd go sit over there. You had this crazy phone. You had to go through a connecting device, and then it would take you to the far side. The operator would then connect you to home, and you could talk, for, you know, several minutes. Very cool. Still got to watch what you say. There were signs all over the place, you know, be careful what you say on the phone. No operational information. No, remember OPSEC, all that kind of stuff. And then my team is out there in the remote regions. But we had two Iridium satellite phones, the kind where you actually have to fold up the antenna and pull it up on the phone and, you know, dial like 50 different numbers to be able to get to a line. But my guys were able to call home periodically. And so about twice a week from a, you know, rooftop of our safe house in a remote corner of Afghanistan, away from any military presence except for my team, I would call home and talk to Charlene. A couple of times she heard things blow up. It was kind of weird. But you know what? There was that connectivity. We even got it set up to where we could send emails. And we had the ability to do satellite burst. And so we would send out satellite twice a day, receive messages from our headquarters and send them back out, and also receive messages from home and send them back out. Connectivity is different. By the time I got to Iraq in 2004, it was crazy to the point that you had whole internet cafes for troops. Some guys had their own laptops. And then next thing you know, people are buying cell phones. And then pretty soon you've got the war is like, you're like down the street from home almost. It's almost like you just went to work and you're calling home every day. To the point that here's a situation we had. We had to declare comms blackouts at times, especially if there was a loss of one of our troops. And I'll never forget more than once, because my battalion took some serious hits. I'll never forget more than once in central Baghdad, the comms blackout would go into effect and everybody knew you put your cell phones down. They turned off the internet connectivity at the internet cafe. There was no Wi-Fi anywhere on post except for official business. And you did not communicate with anyone from home. The interesting dynamic was people back home got used to that, and they knew that if there was a comms blackout and they didn't hear from you for a few days, it meant something bad had happened. And people would sit on pins and needles to find out what it was. The reason why they had to do that was because we had a situation where one of the family members found out in the grocery store about the loss of one of their families, members that was downrange. They found out because someone called home and said, "You won't believe it, man. We lost, you know, I'm making up a name here, but we lost John, and John's gone, and it's horrible." And John's family hadn't been notified yet. And so when the person who'd received that from their troop was in the grocery store, they saw John's mom and walked up and said, "We're so sorry about John." And she said, "What do you mean?" Well, how horrible is that? It wasn't meant to be anything. It wasn't meant to be anything other than a discussion. But the point there is that loose lips sink ships. The point there is that a piece of information got out that shouldn't have. And today's day, we are so connected. I mean, between email and apps on the phones and social media and even being able to, it's common knowledge that one of the ways that pedophiles approach kids, and oh, by the way, drug cartels communicate information, is through video gaming. They literally go in and set up a chat room inside of a video game and they'll talk on Call of Duty. And that's how they pass information back and forth. These things happen constantly. Doesn't matter whether you're on WhatsApp or Signal or texting via your phone or sending an email or whatever. The bottom line is we are more connected now than we have ever been in the history of ever. And that brings its own serious implications. That brings an extra layer of caution, which, oh, by the way, even the slightest mishap can overcome. And we have a situation that we're going to talk about here in just a minute in which one of those mishaps, and I'm thinking it's a mishap, they're saying it's a mishap, part of me wonders, but I'm looking at it and going, how in God's name did we start talking about stuff on Signal that appears to be of at least a classified, if not a secret nature, and a member of the press got hold of it? What the heck? All right, bottom line is, I'm going to unpack this for you, but I hope you got the sense I'm trying to portray here about having been in places where connectivity is so real that you have to actually shut it down to prevent the spillage, we call it, spillage of classified information. All right, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We're going to come right back. Loose lips sink ships. That's where we are. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so let me also label a couple of things for you. There's a lot of talk about from the talking heads in the media about things they know nothing about. Now, well, this is all secret. Not necessarily. I don't know. Here's the point. They don't know either. There are different levels of classification. For instance, let me back up. There are different levels of classification. You're going to have, at the very least, you're going to have certain things that are considered sensitive and either sensitive / no foreign, which is for no foreign, it cannot be transmitted to foreign entities. So sensitive, no foreign, it's a classification level that's below secret. It just means, hey, be real careful with this. That's, you know, it's not the kind of thing you're going to talk about. Don't let it out. It's not real protected, but it is. And the next thing you're going to have is base level secret. Base level secret. And it's amazing how many people have a secret clearance. Just to be a second lieutenant in the Army, you had to have a secret clearance. It didn't matter whether you were in the environment or not. You had to be able to be trusted. And so you had to have the background checks and the requisite, you know, information availability. So all said and done, you've got sensitive, no foreign. You've got secret. And then you get into top secret. And then you get into parts of where I used to work, TSSCI. So the top secret with, you know, secure compartment and information is going to wind up being a much higher level. It's like a layer up from TS. And then you're going to have people that are read onto the SAPs. And that's going to be where you've got special access programs. And those are compartmentalized so that only certain people, it's like an eyes only kind of thing. So you got TSSCI SAP. And I've worked in those environments. And I'll just tell you, they have a lot of protocols. They have things they call the air gap. You don't have spillage. You do not have something that's on the green computer ever allowed to use the red computer. I had two workstations at my desk. One was red, one was green. You had to log into them separately. If you had something that was classified, it had to be emailed from the SIPR side, the high side, if you will, the red side. If you had something that was, you know, sensitive or less, you could go ahead and send it on the green side as long as you knew who you were sending it to. All this to say, there are protocols and there are layers and there are things that have classification. And the classification process, by the way, may carry an actual cover sheet that's going to be branded and tell you exactly what you got in your hands. But then you have the people who have access to everything, and they should. And those are the ones that were on this text that we're talking about, this Signal. Signal being an app. If you're not familiar, if you're one of those who's never used it before, Signal is an app that is highly encrypted. You can actually it basically sends out messages that can be encrypted and then thereafter be, you know, done away with, so they cannot be recouped. They're not stored out there in the cloud forever and ever. Amen. Signal is actually, I'm surprised to find out, but Signal is actually pre-approved for use in certain government functions. We're told right now that Signal was pre-approved for use in this government function. Okay, having said all that, what happened? Well, what we know right now is a guy named Jeffrey Goldberg. He's an assistant editor-in-chief, or actually the editor-in-chief for The Atlantic. The Atlantic is a liberal rag, all right? The Atlantic has been the progenitor of everything from Russia to, you know, swearing that Trump is a racist. And, you know, there is nothing conservative about The Atlantic. Somehow or another, Jeffrey Goldberg was tagged into a group in Signal. The question is how. He says he got the, and you have to be like invited in. You're like, you get the, you've been added to or invited in, you know, to log into the Signal group. And then you're a member of the group and only the administrators can get you in. Well, he got the invitation, he says, from what the Signal accounts said was Michael Waltz, National Security Advisor, former Congressman, Green Beret, Michael Waltz. By the way, Michael Waltz, if anybody understands classifications, it's the former Green Beret Congressman slash now National Security Advisor, Michael Waltz. So how this happened, we don't know. I'll get to that in a minute. But what did happen, and what we're understanding, because it has been confirmed, is that Michael Waltz's account allegedly sent an invite to Jeffrey Goldberg of The Atlantic, and suddenly he realized he was in a group that had 18 members, including people like Michael Waltz, Vice President Vance, Secretary of State Rubio, Secretary of Defense Hegseth, CIA Director John Ratcliffe, White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles. It had Stephen Miller in it. It's like, okay, these are the players. Well, he says, by the way, he really didn't believe it was real at first. I get that. I also don't believe that. Just saying. I think he saw something happen and he's like, holy crap. I've got the golden chalice here. I am not letting this go till I know what's going on. And then there's only one article that I've seen that said this. Where is the one that I've got? The one I'm looking at here is from Fox. Where is it? One of these that I've got, maybe Daily Caller, is that he watched it for days. This was not just a few hours. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. I don't know exactly how many days, but I think it was like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
I think the thread said something about over the next 72 hours. So I think 72 yes. hours before the event is when it started.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what I'm looking at. Yeah, like right here's one account in Fox that says that he looked at it and it says the following day, according to Goldberg, he began to receive what he thought was highly sensitive information about operational details about strikes against the Houthi rebels. Okay, first of all, ain't nobody complaining about the Houthi rebels getting bombed. They need to be bombed. They should have been bombed during the Biden administration. It was a total, complete mess the way they've been just tearing up the Suez Canal and destroying shipping and commerce. But that being said, the Biden administration did nothing, so the Trump administration is. The question is, what was communicated on the Signal app? I'm going to give you more details when we get back, and then we're going to unpack what's being said about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, Oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two, which is inexplicable. Where did hour number one go? How did it? I even got through Dipper one yet.
It's gone.
It's like, I like the sound effect.
Ta-da.
Hey, let me finish up giving you the background, and then I think JP was looking up something for us during the break. We'll catch that here in a second. But so what we know is this. The Signal is an app. Signal's an app. If you're not familiar, it's an encrypted app you can use. It's actually been pre-approved for use in certain environments in the government. It is considered to be highly encrypted and typically secure, although what is really in general? I mean, everything can be hacked. But in this case, it wasn't a hack. This was also, by the way, not a case of being a confidential informant that you have to protect. Keep that in mind. A member of the media, Jeffrey Goldberg, says that he was given an invitation like they text it to you. You've been invited to join the group so-and-so. And this group was called Houthi Attacks. And it contained 18 different members of the National Security Council and the Trump senior advisors. I mean, we had everybody from CIA director to the vice president to the secretary of state, secretary of defense. I mean, all of them. So these folks are all in a Signal, and he says he's watching it for days. At first thinking it wasn't real, but he didn't tune out, did he? So at no point, apparently, did he get in touch with somebody and say, hey, I got a weird thing going on. Are you guys texting about the Houthis right now? Excuse me, sir. Why would you say that? I need to speak to someone, please, and let them know that I've got some information that does not appear to be meant for me. He never did that. But Phil, he's a member of the media. He has a right to develop his story. Does he? Does he really? When it involves life, limb, or property, when you have the ability to prevent tragedy, when you've got classified information that you're accidentally accessing and you know you're not supposed to, well, maybe you'd have a duty to say something at that point. He didn't. In fact, what he said was, well, you know, I wasn't sure this was real. Bull crap. He already knew it was real. He was staying tied into it like he was literally just glued to the TV screen. I mean, he couldn't take his eyes off of it. Well, apparently, he says he sat in his car for a couple of hours on the day when the Houthis were supposed to be bombed, according to what had been said in the Signal text. He says that what happened was a dialogue was going back and forth. And what it really shows was a highly engaged group of people that were all swapping information and saying, I agree with this. We should advise POTUS sometime soon. Yes, I agree with that. Let's move on it this way. However, I disagree with the idea of doing it like this. And even Vice President Vance said, I'll be a member of the team, but I'm letting you know behind closed doors that I don't agree at this point. He felt like we were rescuing Europe and he didn't want to do that. All that to say, highly engaged group of people. The press guy is still watching. And then, oh, by the way, a lengthy text from Hegseth comes through on the Signal app. And it gave more details. He says it involved operational details about future strikes. He claimed that there's no way in the world that what he had would have been considered open source. He felt like he had something that, in his words, quote, an adversary with access to what was written could have harmed U.S. military and intelligence officials abroad. And he didn't say anything. Interesting. And then he sat in his car and he waited to see what was going to happen. And sure enough, about the time when it was supposed to be happening, he started seeing stuff on social media about bombs going off in Yemen, Houthi rebels being bombed. All right, that's where we are. And then the fallout began because he published a story. He didn't go and say, hey, you guys got to take me off this text, man. I don't think you realize you're texting me right now. And the question is, how did he get invited? There's several layers to talk about here. How did he get invited? Is anybody going to be held accountable in terms of punishment? I don't mean like not being held accountable, but is anybody going to be punished for this? And next, what are Democrats saying about it? And next, was there truly any classified information? How did he get invited? You looked up something earlier.
So this hasn't been confirmed, but it's the best hypothesis I've seen so far. And props to Ben Shapiro, is the only person I've seen point this out. But, you know, on the Signal app, obviously it's just kind of like any other, you know, messaging app where it'll have the initials of the person, like JG, you know, whatever. So what he pointed out is, and this makes sense, they probably tried to add Jameson Greer, who is Trump's top trade negotiator, to the chat and accidentally added Jeffrey Goldberg, who also has the initials JG. So I'm assuming either Watts or one of Watts' staffers or something just went through and saw JG, yep, click, and did not look and see who the actual JG was.
That's possible.
Yeah. So I think that is the best hypothesis. Like I said, it's not been confirmed, but I think that is the best hypothesis I've heard so far as to how that, because you have to send somebody
an invitation
and then they have to accept. So I don't know. I think that is the best hypothesis I've seen so far.
Okay, here's a problem. That very well may be the way it worked. Because the President of the United States earlier today, when he was questioned on it, President Trump said, we know who it was. It was somebody on Waltz's staff. He said that. That's POTUS saying that. So Trump is now fully aware, obviously, and he's saying, we know who it was. It was somebody on Waltz's staff. Okay, and what you just said sounds very plausible. Except I want to know why somebody on Waltz's staff had a Signal invite app or had a Signal invite address for Jeffrey Goldberg. There's that question.
Yeah, so
why do you have him in your secure Signal Rolodex?
Yeah,
what else are you sending him by secure Signal drop? So I bet that question is going to get asked.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, Joe Blow, Joe Snuffy the ragbag, who did that thing earlier you shouldn't have done. I got to ask you, how is it you happen to have Jeffrey Goldberg's Signal address? Anyway, I agree. I think that's probably what happened. I don't think for a second that Mike Waltz said, hey, shh, don't tell anybody, but I'm going to include you in a chat, and we'll all be able to see you there, but no one will know it's really you. I don't think that happened.
And by the way, that's not excusing that they should have gone through and double-checked.
Yes.
But I think that is what happened. Although, like, you know, the staffer should have been like, is this the right JG?
That's the how, but it's not the why.
Yes.
The why seems like it was a case of negligence.
Yes.
Negligence can get people killed. You can have negligent homicide. You know, you didn't mean to kill him, but you did because you were acting negligently. Well, the same is true here. You may not have meant to add the reporter, but you did because you weren't paying attention to your job. The White House has confirmed it. This actually happened. The White House did confirm that while they were still searching for how this happened, they are confirming that it was real. The White House is also saying today, and Tulsi Gabbard testified before Congress this morning, that this was not considered to be secret information. That the bulk of it, they would reference in those text messages, said, see the high side, meaning go to the red side if you want to see the plans in detail. I still think it was... I still think it was dicey. I still think it was a breach of protocol, and I still think that it was potentially putting information into a venue that was less secure than what that information required. I really do.
Definitely a big and bad oops, but I don't think it was a leak of classified information oops, because like you said, they mentioned the high side channel where the actual classified information was. You can go here to find that. This wasn't some rinky-dink group text like, hey, guys, let's all this classified. Like, it wasn't that, but it was still a bad oops.
Well, Jeffrey Goldberg hates the Trump administration, which is interesting. He says, what I will say in order to illustrate the shocking recklessness of this Signal conversation is that Hegseth's post contained operational details of forthcoming strikes on Yemen, including information about targets, weapons the U.S. would be deploying, and attack sequencing. Let me point something out here. Again, if he felt that way about it, he had a duty, in my opinion, to say something. Well, Phil, he's a member of the press. He has confidential sources. This is not a confidential source. This is stumbling into a place. This is like walking into a room and realizing you're not supposed to be there. It's like literally walking into the bank vault and realizing you're not supposed to be there. You're with other people's stuff. You don't do that. You step back out. You apologize. You make yourself known, and you walk away. He didn't do that. He didn't have somebody coming to him with a special leak. Look, I got something for you. Go ahead and report it, but don't say where you got it. You know, no, he doesn't have the protections of anonymity on this one. He got added by mistake, and he took advantage of it. He said, by the way, and we just saw it up on the ticker a little while ago on CNN, that he says there's more to come. What does that mean? That means he's staging it now. That means that a part of what he's doing is putting out what he wants to put out to draw the reaction so that he can come back with more story to string it out and get more clicks. That's exactly what he's doing. So part of me also, here's another question I have. First of all, this never should happen again. Now, let me make sure that all y'all hear me say this. Having worked in the TSSCI SAP environment, I will tell you right now, this needs to get fixed. It needs to get fixed hard. somebody is going to wind up having to get reprimanded and maybe even lose their job. And I hate it for them, but somebody's going to. And then the other part of this is it needs to never happen again, and there need to be some more serious protocols in place. That being said, I also can't help but wonder this. Is it possible this was intentional?
Yeah.
Is it possible that they want a PSYOP out there, and they were also – here's how counterintelligence works. People don't realize – I mean, Tulsi Gabbard said most recently – they were looking at Pentagon leaks. They were going to internalize their reviews to find the leakers in the Pentagon. They were going to be doing certain things to find. Is it possible? Because counterintelligence, what you do is you feed out information and you see where it goes. So then you can go back and source it to see whether or not the information that you intentionally gave out, that source is who transmits it to the enemy. So let's say, for instance, that the Atlantic had decided to make sure you, hey, call Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. She loves the Houthis. She's constantly touting them. Tell her I got a little something she might want to know. If that had happened, I'm not saying it didn't, who knows it did, but if that had happened, then they would know for a fact Jeffrey Goldberg's the guy doing this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, but okay. Did it stop the airstrike? No. Did anybody lose their life? Besides Houthis? No. But the truth of the matter is somebody's going to have to start wondering whether or not what we are seeing is an intentional counterintelligence effort or maybe even a PSYOP effort to try and make sure that the other side knows we know what you know.
It's possible. I mean, I think maybe initially Hegseth's reaction to it makes me think otherwise. I think that was like, I don't know if you saw the video, if his genuine reaction.
He was pissed.
Yeah, he was very
pissed.
He was
also pissed and he went into defense mode.
Yes. So that makes me think maybe not, but that's a very possible theory.
More to come on it. I got a little more on this when we get back, and I want to hear some of y'all's feedback. Some of y'all worked in TS environments, and if you ever worked out in counterintelligence, I want to know, would you see this as being an intentional drop? Is this an intentional effort to try and root out a source? I'm curious. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right. So back from the break here, heading into this topic some more, the loose lips sink ships thing. We got a screw up. We got a screw up. It was bad. It needs to not happen again. I see Yellow Dog Mike is still listening. Yellow Dog Mike, you know, the cure for your situation is to continue listening to the show. So glad you're there. He wants to know if he wants some cheese with our wine. He says we're writing late night comic material. Which part do you disagree with, Yellow Dog? Call in and actually talk. It'd be great. But here's the bottom line. This has to get fixed. And I want to know, you know what? We'll never know. We'll never know if it's intentional. We'll never know if it was a PSYOP or a counterintelligence scam. But what we do know is this. The Atlantic guy held on to it, didn't say anything about it. Now he's enjoying writing stories about it. In the end, the airstrikes went off. Houthis are getting trashed. Somewhere along the line, though, someone's going to have to wind up paying some accountability. Michael Waltz, the Democrats are going crazy right now. And by the way, they've been looking for something. They have been so desperate for something.
They've been getting pounded.
They've got nothing. Their whole mantra is hate Trump, bad Musk.
Yep. And they've grabbed a hold of this, and it's like, oh, finally something.
Oh, good. Even the never-Trumpers, David Frum is out there. Well, it's time for Michael Waltz to be fired or resign. Shut up. Here's the end result. Someone is probably going to wind up losing their job or at the very least being reprimanded, unless, of course, we find out later on it was intentional all the time. Tuberville, 1819 News, has a piece on this. Even Tuberville was asked about it. He was asked as a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee by CNN's Manu Raju, was it a mistake and should it get corrected? He said, well, it's a mistake. You know, he says, we make mistakes. I don't know how it happened. He said it might have been a communication problem in the comms department, but, you know, we can't put the blame on one person yet. And then he goes on to say, Pete Hegseth's going to have to get it corrected. He says, something went awry here. And he said, basically, it's a pretty scary situation. So, I mean, Republicans are not running away from this. The funny thing is, though, the Democrats are running to it. Because all we have to keep doing is going, Hillary server, and they don't want know what to do with that, because that was not a big deal. That was okay that she had her server hard drive destroyed with a hammer. That's okay that she had a server at all. Oh, by the way, if you remember, wasn't Joe Biden also using a non-secure email with a fake name so he can communicate with people? I mean, for the love of God, people, at least be consistent in your messaging. How about that?
Those are Democrats, Phil.
Well, that's true. I don't know what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. I do think Pete Hegseth's response was initially over the top. First thing he did was lash out at the Atlantic guy and try to make it all about him. The Atlantic guy bears some responsibility. He does. I mean, once you have it, you have a duty with what you have, all right? He doesn't bear responsibility for being tagged in it, but he bears some responsibility for what he did with it. That being said, Pete Hegseth, I think he got a little bit, he got overly defensive and leaned in hard on the situation, trying to discredit the journalist himself, which, I'll be honest with you, if you're paying attention, The Atlantic is a hack for anything. It's a shill for the Democrats. Trump says he's not planning to fire Michael Waltz. I won't even bother going into that in detail. Speaker Mike Johnson says Waltz should also not be fired. However, Democrats' story here on Time Magazine. Phil, did you go to Time Magazine? I did. I go to these places so you don't have to. Time Magazine says, a bombshell report that top national security officials for President Donald Trump discussed their war plans in a private group chat. Accidentally included the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic has elicited fierce criticism from Democrats and media commentators. And rightfully so, but the reality is this. We have to look at several things. Have they identified it? Yes. Are they taking corrective action? Yes. Have they owned up to it? Yes. Have they also, oh, by the way, said that the mission went off without a hitch? Yes. Do we know if there's any additional spillage? We don't. Was it a bad situation, though? Yes. Please don't let it happen again. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, we're coming right back. We're moving to the next. I'll take some text messages, then we'll jump into the Dems being in disarray. How about that, Yellow Dog? Your story. We'll be right back.